Let's turn to Luke chapter 2. We're going to read verses 8 to 15. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Let's pray. God, thank you for this Thursday morning. We thank you for the opportunity to come. As we gather, God, we just ask that you speak to us through your words, as well as just in our prayers to you this morning, God. Be with us, share with us. Thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So there is apparently a common saying that the phrase "do not fear" is mentioned 365 times in the Bible, one for each day of the year. Now, as much as I would like to believe that something like this is so serendipitous, unfortunately, this is one of those sayings that are as biblical as cleanliness is next to godliness, meaning that this is simply not true. In the OG King James Version, the phrase is actually mentioned only a mere 103 times, meaning you only need to remember not to fear every 3 to 4 days. Now, all silly jokes aside, when we are talking about this topic of fear and his little brother worry, we also have to talk about the opposite end of that spectrum, which is peace. And so today's passage, we get to look at Luke's account of the angel visiting the shepherds. Now, if we go through this quickly, it begins with angels showing up randomly in the middle of the night. And contrary to what some may try to argue, this is not a normal thing that happens, right? The fact that the first thing the angel said was, "Don't trip," meant that chances are the shepherds was like, "Are we about to die? You'll be afraid during that time." Now, the angel showing up is similar to, the feeling that I get was this idea of someone saying to me that, "Oh, we have to talk." And then this anxiety that just builds and running through your head of all the possible different things that you may have done wrong for some reason. And you just start expecting the worst, right? And I'm just, taking a wild guess. I'm sure many of us have gone through situations like that where, someone says that we need to talk and you just have this anxiety just builds in you. Now, of course, we know why the angels are there, right? They're here to tell the shepherds that the hope that they've been waiting for, the Messiah, has arrived. And so it bears importance to point out that in this narrative we just read, we recognize a tonal shift from the start of things, right? It shifts from a state of fear and anxiety to one of peace and expectation. And in the midst of uncertainty, message of peace from the angel, right, from God. Which leads us to our main topic this morning. And in the second week of Advent, the traditional topic that we are looking towards is this topic of peace. And so, typically in church, when we are talking about this idea, this topic of peace, we're most likely talking about one or two ideas of peace. The first piece is this idea of something that's, you know, peace that's the opposite of war and the opposite of conflict. This is how typically people would think about peace, right? Not just those in the church, but also those outside of church. You know, we think of nations are at war or at peace with one another. We think about our own circumstances, right? The people that we are in conflict with. Now, this peace is very circumstantial, and it can be quite fickle, right? It's all dependent on the status quo. And sometimes this could be a very volatile type of peace, right? It could be hinging on a simple act, right? You know, something could happen and your boss might flip out, or a nation may react out of, you know, disproportionate to something small that might happen. You know, this is something that can be quite volatile. Now, this is also the type of peace that Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew, is pointing to when he writes in Matthew 5, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." And if you recall all the different times that Peter may have spoken on this passage, he's always pointing out the difference between the, you know, between peacemakers and peacekeepers, right? Peacemakers seek to resolve conflict, whereas peace seekers seek to prevent conflict. Bringing resolution to any conflict would sometimes require some sort of confrontation, as T. Kenny mentioned a couple weeks ago. And there will be times when dealing with conflict resolution, it's going to ruffle a few feathers, either be your own or the other person or people in, on the other side of this conflict. Now, this year, with the extensive periods of physical distancing with one another, many issues have, many issues and conflicts have bubbled up to the surface that required people and required us to confront in order to bring peace into our lives, right? You know, from familial issues to political issues, you know, and even beyond coronavirus, right? The past 2 years here in Hong Kong, there have been many stories of families or perhaps even friends. You know, a lot of this undealt conflict finally bubbling up to the top and now forced to confront with it. And naturally, not doing it in a very healthy way because of the lack of practice in conflict resolution, right? And it's not just here in Hong Kong, right? You see it all around the world with many different social issues, whether it's Southeast Asia with Thailand or something. You see it in North and South America. You see it in Europe. You see it everywhere where these undealt conflict is rising up and causing a lot of issues as people start to act out. Now, conflict resolution is an integral part of attaining the type of peace between one another. But to achieve such a state with one another, we most likely require the second type of peace, right? The greater type of peace. And the second type of peace, and perhaps the more important type, is what some may call inner peace, right? But what we're really talking about is this idea of shalom. Now, shalom isn't just a type of conflict resolution peace, as mentioned before. It is something far beyond that. Shalom is the Hebrew word for wholeness and completeness, or as I interpret it at times, things as they should be. And one of the first times that I was able to really connect shalom to a temporary feeling that I have actually had in my life was in my final year of college, after finishing up one of my interior design studio classes and submitting my project, that overwhelming sense of peace of there's no more left to do, everything was just complete. That was this, you know, first idea that I, yeah, that I was able to get with this, this is what completeness might feel like, right? And so, you know, which leads me to this idea of what creation was like. See, before man's fall, shalom was upon God's creation. In the Garden of Eden, everything was as it should be. Man was in direct relationship with God, and God had completed his creating, right? In Genesis 2, 2-3, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. We read here that the work is finished and God is just resting, chilling, and being with his creation. God is enjoying his Sabbath. We see God act out this peace that he had, right, the shalom, by taking Sabbath. Likewise, the way we act out of this peace isn't an action, but in fact is no action at all, right? We act out this peace by being in stillness, having the peace in our hearts to wait on the Lord, having the peace in our hearts to not feel the need to perform or to impress the people around us, right? Or having the peace in our hearts to move in confidence in circumstances that requires taking a risk or step of faith. 10 years ago, my best friend and I got a chance to direct our church's day camp back in San Francisco. For 6 weeks in the summer, a 21-year-old and a 22-year-old, myself, got to spend 11 hours at church in Chinatown, leading 40 high school kids in taking care of 100 kids from ages 5 to 12. In other words, it was a hectic and chaotic time, but also a very fun summer. Now, typically, we would do quite an amount of planning and preparation after we send the kids home, right? Either hammering out the details for the day or planning for the following week. And as good Asian American kids, we definitely want to perform well and not look like idiots. So we would make sure everything was meticulously planned out. Now, part of my responsibility during this time is the spiritual development of our teenage leaders / counselors. And so my co-director instituted a Sabbath Wednesday in which we would not allow any planning to be done. After we were done with our staff meeting at Devo for the day, we would enforce what we would call mandatory fun activities. We would bust out the Xbox and just play video games on the big screen in the sanctuary. Some of us would go on bubble tea runs and hang out and just chill. We would get into ridiculous shenanigans that may or may not have caused damage to our 100-plus-year-old building. I can neither confirm nor deny that. Now, while it was great that we were building shared experiences and relationships, and getting some much needed rest, the primary reason why we decided to institute a Sabbath and banned planning was to instill a mindset of shalom, a mindset of completeness and wholeness. We wanted to point to the cross and be reminded that the work is finished. We wanted to point to Genesis when God rested after creating. We wanted to show these kids and for them to know that the foundation of our camp isn't found in our plans and our programs, but it's founded in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And that's where wholeness begins, right? When sin came into the world and broke that shalom, it required Jesus. But when Jesus came into the world and started to show the world what shalom was like, culminating in his death and resurrection, God's creation is shifting back to the way things should be. It's shifting back to shalom. We started to get a glimpse of what God's wholeness is all about. In Ephesians, we are reminded that salvation is not by works, right? Nothing we do can bring upon our salvation. Nothing we can do brings about lasting peace. Nothing we can do brings about shalom to God's creation. Hence, therefore, instead of working for our peace that we desperately need, we need to stay still and recognize the work that God has already finished. Christ brought wholeness by fulfilling the law and the prophecies, right? Christ, through the act of sacrifice, brought restoration to God's creation, into the intended relationship between God and us, as it should be. Shalom, completeness. It is finished. Lastly, we talked about how hope and how it indicates that something is not as it should be. The Israelites do not need hope if everything was okay. Now that hope has been realized, with the birth of Christ and recognizing that hope has come, right? We're able to recognize the next thing, right? Which is peace, shalom. what this hope can be. And so as we jump into a time of prayer and worship, I want us to share something that we were going through last night in house church. And so last night in house church, we talked about this tension that exists between recognizing the completed work of Christ, but also recognizing the brokenness that is still prevalent in our world today, right? If we look at the different local outreach ministries here in SP, you would be able to see that there's a disconnect, right? How can we claim that what God has done is finished, but also claim that, the world is good? There's still so much to be done. And so as we sing this morning and reflect upon this peace that God has offered us, let us ask God to bring upon his wholeness into our core, that we would operate and live daily on this truth, that his peace brings completeness, that in the midst of our negative circumstances and the world's brokenness, we can find peace knowing that God's work on the cross has already paid our ransom, that in the times of stress and disorder, in our lives, we can do the hard thing and be still to remember that he is Lord of Lords, mighty King, he is the Prince of Peace. And out of this core truth, we will be able to join with God in helping bring restoration and wholeness into our communities and into the world. Out of this core truth, we will be able to be peacemakers in our daily life. So pass this over to Vaughn as she leads us in the time of worship.
The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul the when Christ was born. Holy
lift up to the Lord the conflicts and the tension in our lives, that in these circumstances his peace shall come upon you. Let's jump into our prayer focus. Let's lift up those who are currently going through cancer and cancer treatments, as well as their families, during this time. Let's lift up those who are in need of healing for their infirmities and also need the word of salvation. Let's also pray for their friends or family that are listening on here and standing with them, that they may continue to be God's light and love for. Let's pray for a community those who are going through non-cancer related illnesses. Let's pray for our community who are currently looking for jobs. Pray for opportunity. Pray for providence, especially during this time. Let's jump to our Thursday prayer focus. Let's first lift up our ministries related to the Southeast Asia region. So let's lift up SBSG and Pastor Sam Kim. Let's lift up Spin and Pastor Salamat. Let's lift up Pastor Ernie and Spill, especially with more restrictions here in Hong Kong. Just pray over a covering of protection over all our domestic helpers here in Hong Kong, that they won't go through any form of discrimination, especially in the way that these restriction laws are being enacted, especially on Sundays, and that they will also deal with great employers that would just give them the rest, as they are both legally required to, but also their helpers would need. So let's lift up SBSG, Spin, and Spill. Let's lift up our education ministries. Let's pray for SP Kids from Key Mary and Lisa. Let's pray for SP Youth and myself. Pray for Key Andrew and SPU that during this time when we're back online, that we'll find creative ways to connect to the young folks. Also creative ways to just getting God's message out in the way that we teach and the way that we connect with another. Let's lift up our prayer and healing ministries. Let's lift up IP. Pray that for Matt and the team be able to hear from the Lord well for the church. Let's lift up Rachel for the well and the river that in our Zoom well times after service that, greater testimonies will come out of during this time. And also pray for River just in the midst of being physically distanced, that inner healing and all of these things as they move online as well, that nothing gets lost, that inner healing is still happening, and nothing is being lost during this time. Let's lift up our evening outreaches that are normally scheduled for Thursday. Let's lift up SP Lights and Sons and Daughters. Pray over those that are ministering still out in the red light district. Let's also lift up Homie, even though the home visits itself is suspended. That we are still connecting with the people that we see on a weekly basis during the dinners, and the ones that that we're still connecting with those that we visit up in the homes as well. Pray also especially for the Christmas outreaches that are that our partner St. Barnabas is still trying to kind of put together, even if it's physically distanced, that God will still be able to be shared to our friends at home. Let's lift up the house churches that are meeting tonight: East Bay, Olympic, Robin Hood, and McRobinson. And as this is the last house church of the season, just pray for God be at the center of everything, that they're able to enjoy their time on Zoom. There's nothing to be lost, even though that they're physically away from one another, but that community is still being built tonight. Finally, let's lift up Hong Kong and just the way that COVID's rising up again here in our city. Pray that through the new measures being placed, that we are able to once again kind of lower the cases. We continue to pray for zero cases, that that our city will be eradicated of this virus, and for whatever future vaccines that might be coming out, that we don't, we continue to wait upon that. We could see that in light of the end of the tunnel in regards to that, but for the city to have peace as all of this is being finalized and being distributed in the coming weeks or months for that. So let's lift up Hong Kong. Pray. Abba Father, we thank you for sending us your son Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Thank you for caring for us, and thank you for promising to give us your peace, Shalom. Please guard our hearts and minds with your peace. You know the things that have been weighing us down with worry, anxiety, or fear. Lord, please help us fix our minds on you instead and on your spirit. Thank you for promising to bring us wholeness and restoration. We can be still and rest, Lord, because you make us safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.